sort of given to us in a barrage of information, sort of a fire hose of information, so we can't pick out the relevant details. So in a sense, it has become harder to do these reports because there's more information withheld.
Nita Crawford, we have to leave it there. Co-director of the Cost of War Project will link to your report, professor and department chair of political science at Boston University. Tune in Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, for a special broadcast with renowned dissident and linguist Noam Chomsky on the twin threats of nuclear war and climate change, the election of a far-right army captain in Brazil, and how U.S. foreign policy in Latin America has led to the migrant crisis. On Friday, we'll bring you our exclusive report, Breaking the Media Blockade in Moroccan-Occupied Western Sahara, 4 days in Occupied Western Sahara, a rare look inside Africa's last colony. That's Thursday and Friday Democracy Now! Specials. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Gesder, Nermeen Shea, Carla Wills, Tommy Warrenoff, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock, and next is the evening news. Stay tuned.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.
Hi, I'm J.J. Johnson, host of the Gospel and More program, Sundays from 6 to 8 a.m. We are collecting yarn to make wool caps for the homeless community. Drop off yarn and caps at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th, Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5. We are also looking for knitters. For more information, contact KBOO Gospel and More at gmail.com or go to kboo.fm/gospelandmore. The yarn and cap drive will end January the 31st.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor live performances by Tony Furtado on Friday and Saturday, November 23rd and 24th at 8 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Tony Furtado is a Portland songwriter in the Americana bluegrass realm. This is his 8th annual Thanksgiving Bash at Mississippi Studios. On November 23rd, he's playing a seated acoustic show with guest collaborator Scott Law, with Jack Straw opening. On November 24th, he'll be playing an electric set with guest collaborator Stephanie Schneiderman. Richie S. Young opens the show. Again, that's live performances by Tony Furtado on Friday and Saturday, November 23rd and 24th at 8 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Portland 5 Centers for the Arts, presenting Dorito Smith and the Django Festival All-Stars, November 27th at the Newmark Theater. More information online at portland5.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, toxic chemicals in fire damage homes.
E-scooters are gone.
And in international news, France has been urged to return stolen historical artifacts.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 21st, 2018. I'm Carly Meisberger.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. The Portland Bureau of Transportation has announced that the city's e-scooter probation period will end as of today. As of tomorrow morning, scooters belonging to the three companies, Lime, Skip, and Bird, will no longer be available for rent. It is expected that the scooters will be gone from Portland in about a week. And a Bureau of Transportation spokesperson, Dylan Rivera, has asked that anyone seeing an e-scooter on public right-of-way report it to the company to which it belongs. The e-scooters, however, may not be gone for good. Rivera has said that PBOT plans to release findings from the pilot program early next year and from there to seek public input. City Commissioner Chloe Udaly is the overseer of PBOT and is expected to take a hands-on approach to the future fate of the scooters. Rivera stated that the major complaint about the scooters during the pilot program has been people riding on the sidewalk, and said that scooter riders need to be more respectful when riding, for example, staying off the sidewalks and not riding through public parks.
A man who was shot early Monday morning in southeast Portland has died. According to police, 41-year-old Dominique Evers was shot at the Court Louise Apartments on 130th and Powell Boulevard. After being shot, Evers was able to flag down a passing car that took him to a local hospital where he died this morning. Police have arrested 38-year-old Nathan Moore on charges of suspicion of murder and took him to the Multnomah County Detention Center, where he remains in custody. Police have not released details in the circumstances leading up to the shooting and are asking for anyone with information to contact Detective Rico Benicia at 503-823-0457.
Rampant overproduction in Oregon's market for legal recreational marijuana has produced a 50% drop in prices, according to state economists. That widely documented collapse has been tough on farmers and retailers, but a boon for consumers. A new state analysis finds the price collapse sparked a big uptick in marijuana purchases and a corresponding increase in associated tax revenue. And that's from a report from the Oregonian. Recreational marijuana sales in Oregon will be nearly $543 million this year, up 29% from 2017 and well above economists' expectations, forecasts show. When Oregon legalized marijuana 4 years ago, expectations were enormous for the newly legal market. The state created incentives for producers to leave the black market, leading to overproduction and the ensuing price decrease. Recreational marijuana remains a small industry relative to the size of Oregon's economy. For comparison, economists note that cigarette sales are 40% higher than marijuana sales, but legal marijuana is growing fast. State forecasts suggest it will be a billion-dollar market in 2025. While Oregon has no general sales tax, it does levy a 17% sales tax on marijuana. Marijuana taxes generated nearly $70 million in revenue last year and are forecast to generate nearly $90 million in 2018. State forecasters believe marijuana may eventually play a more important role in the state's economy.
A mural at North Carolina's Duke University, dedicated to the memory of the 11 people massacred at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, has been vandalized with a swastika. Duke President Vincent Price said in a letter, quote, that such a craven and cowardly act of vandalism, a desecration of a memorial to individuals who were killed because they were Jewish and practicing their faith, should happen anywhere is extremely distressing, unquote. He also said, quote, that it should occur in such a visible public location at Duke should be a matter of grave concern to us all, unquote. The mural is located on what is known as Free Speech Bridge on the university campus, where students have often painted murals that throw a light on current topics. This is not the first act of vandalism against a mural on the bridge. Last September, a mural celebrating Latina Heritage Month was covered with black graffiti in less than 24 hours. Price said that the school is taking steps to ensure the safety of the Jewish community by providing security guards at the campus Jewish Center and installing security cameras near the bridge.
The Centers for Disease Control is warning consumers that they should not eat any romaine lettuce because of concerns about an E. coli outbreak. People should throw away any romaine they have, and restaurants should not serve it. Although there have been no reported cases of E. coli in Oregon, there have been 10 cases in California and 7 in Michigan. Other states in which E. coli has been reported are Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Wisconsin. As of yet, no source for the outbreak has been identified, but an investigation by federal health officials has begun.
A plan to improve transit options and decrease the number of cars in central Portland just received a last-minute addition, one that would include investing in much more parking options in the city center. Central City in Motion, CCIM, is an 18-project plan from the Portland Bureau of Transportation that's been a year in the making. CCIM promises pedestrian crossing improvements, redesigned roadways that will better accommodate buses and trucks, and safer biking options in downtown Portland and the Central East Side, among other things. The Portland City Council is scheduled to adopt a final CCIM report and implementation plan on Thursday. It will also consider a just-added CCIM parking supply strategy report, one that essentially recommends the city invest in more parking spots. Despite CCIM's focus on making the area more bike, public transit, and pedestrian friendly. Many of those suggested strategies would serve as temporary transitional measures to keep the area's number of parking spaces the same, as the city center is expected to lose an estimated 2% of its parking spaces due to CCIM projects. But three proposals would likely add more permanent parking spaces to the area. Late Thursday, after President Trump had left for a six-day holiday at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, White House Chief of Staff John F. Kelly signed a memo expanding the authority of troops at the border. This four-page memo allows U.S. military personnel to conduct crowd control, temporary detention, and cursory search, as well as, quote, a show or use of force, including lethal force where necessary, that are reasonably necessary to ensure the protection and safety of federal personnel, unquote. Secretary of Defense James Mattis insists troops will not be armed with firearms, but this memo still marks an escalation in Trump's crackdown at the border. Critics point to the fact that this new order could violate a federal law that restricts the military from performing domestic law enforcement. A Washington public policy organization, the Truman National Security Project, has already called for Congress to block the order on the grounds that it is illegal and unconstitutional.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Consultation with Indigenous groups about the Trans Mountain Pipeline began Tuesday in Calgary, the Canadian Press reports. The Canadian government purchased Trans Mountain with expansion plans, which would increase the amount of crude oil shipped to the U.S. But in August, a Canadian court struck down its approval, citing inadequate Indigenous consultation and environmental concerns. 45 Indigenous groups from the U.S. and Canada were invited to give testimony at the first meeting. Some First Nations support the project for jobs and economic development. Other Native groups in both the U.S. and Canada have expressed opposition to expanding the pipeline. Consultations are scheduled to continue in other Canadian communities through early December. Regulators are reportedly on a tight timeline to reconsider approval of the project, with a final report expected to be submitted to federal officials by February. A three-day language summit recently held in Juneau, Alaska, brought together speakers of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian languages. Zoe Gruskin was there and spoke with an elder who had traveled a long way to be there.
Voices of Our Ancestors Language Summit brought together nearly 80 speakers of Southeast Alaska's native languages. For some, it was one of their first opportunities to talk with other fluent speakers.
I'm a Tlingit speaker, but I have lived away from Yakutat for over 40 years.
That's Jim Thomas. Tlingit names Katsutu and Shayugan. Thomas was the first director of public relations for the Alaska Federation of Natives. Then he moved to Washington State. Despite living far from home, Thomas says he's a pretty good speaker.
They're just words, phrases that I forget. They tumble around in your brain and then they tumble around in your mouth because Tlingit is very complex.
Thomas says he used to be ashamed to forget words, but now when he needs help, he just asks a friend or relative and keeps talking. Often, that help comes from his young in-law, Tlingit teacher and culture bearer, Paul Marks II. During the session on language suppression, Thomas sat beside Marks, and Marks's baby. Thomas used his turn on the mic to introduce the baby girl, and he told the crowd that holding on to language and cultural traditions can be especially important for young children.
And one of those words that I told them that we need to remember is achkanku. It's we put our hand, the palm of our hand, under the chin of a child, and we say achkanku. And that means you are the most precious child on the face of the earth. And then if we're sitting across from them in the biggest hall, you hold your hand out to them and you go, chick, chick. And that child knows that they are the most precious being on the face of the earth.
The crowd repeated Thomas's words as Marks bounced the baby. Thomas hopes she will grow up speaking Tlingit. The summit was organized by Sea Alaska Heritage Institute in partnership with the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. Around 300 people attended over 3 days. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
Native groups plan to march and speak in Plymouth, Massachusetts Thursday for the annual National Day of Mourning event. The United American Indians of New England organized the annual gathering, saying the Thanksgiving Day holiday represents genocide, and they use the day to raise awareness of Native issues. Past speakers have discussed missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. This year's march will include drawing attention to Indigenous land rights, including the Mashpee Wampanoag's fight for its reservation. A gathering is also held annually on the West Coast with the Indigenous People Sunrise Ceremony on Alcatraz Island. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by the University of Tulsa College of Law's online Indian Law Master's Degree program to help you work effectively in Indian Country. Spring application deadline is December 1st. More information at 918-631-2402. PBS wants to hear from you. Are you watching the four-part series Native America on your local PBS station? PBS wants to know how you continue your cultural knowledge and tradition. PBS is collecting stories like yours at pbs.org/native voices.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for more great KBOO programming. At 6, it's What's Life Without Laughter. At 6:30, Free Culture Radio. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be 45 degrees with 80% precipitation. Tomorrow's weather, you can expect a high of 51 degrees and a low of 46 with showers. Today in history, Dee McCree patented the portable fire escape. Also today in history, this marks the day Nat Turner was murdered as the leader of the Southampton, Virginia slave revolt of 1831. Quote of the day is from Nat Turner, who said, "And my father and mother strengthened me in this, my first impression, saying in my presence I was intended for some great purpose, which they had always thought from certain marks on my head and breast."
Auditions for Oregon State University's theater winter production, Nightfall with Edgar Allan Poe, will be held at 6 p.m. Sunday, December 2nd in the Lab Theater in Withycombe Hall at 2901 Southwest Campus Way, Corvallis. The adaptation is an abstract retelling of five of Edgar Allan Poe's greatest works, including The Raven and The Telltale Heart. Five performers will play 12 roles. Auditions are open to all OSU students, faculty and staff, and community members. Auditions will consist of cold readings from the script. Scripts are available to check out in the Theater Arts Office in Withycombe Hall 145. Performance dates for Nightfall are February 14th through 17th, with technical and dress rehearsals February 9th through 13th. All performers must be available for all technical rehearsals and performances. Rehearsals will begin January 8th and generally run Sundays through Thursdays until Tech Week. For questions concerning the auditions or rehearsal process, please contact the director, Lindsay Esch, at eschl@oregonstate.edu.
Portland Parks and Recreation will present this year's Native American Marketplace and Family Day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 24th at Mount Scott Community Center. That's at 5530 Southeast 72nd Avenue. This is an opportunity to celebrate Native cultures during Native American Heritage Month with food, crafts, vendors, and free activities for all ages. Activities include Native arts and crafts vendors, free roller skating from noon to 3 p.m., free swimming from 1 to 6 p.m. Note, children under 48 inches and non-swimmers must be accompanied in the water by an adult. There's also an Indian taco sale fundraiser at noon. All proceeds go to support the Delta Park powwow. For info or questions, including vendor inquiries, please contact Portland Parks and Recreation's Cheryl Juber at 503-830-2780 or cheryl.juber@gmail.com. That's J-U-B-E-R. You can also visit the event's Facebook page.
Portland State University's Population Research Center released early results for its annual Oregon Population Report Monday morning, and key findings include the state's lowest birth rate in decades, as well as continued population growth from out-of-state transplants. Oregon's population grew by over 50,000 people last year, with 88% of new people coming from out of state. It's a slight decrease from 2016, a year that saw more than 60,000 people moving to Oregon. Charles Rinnerson, a research faculty member at the center, told the Mercury that about a quarter of 2017's transplants came from California. Interestingly, Washington is the only state Oregon has a net loss with. That is, more people moved from Oregon to Washington last year than vice versa. The other 12% of new people in Oregon were born here last year, but 2017 saw the lowest birth rate in the state since 1995. Birth rates in Oregon peaked at about 49,000 in 2007 and have been dropping steadily ever since.
A plan to improve transit options and decrease the number of cars in central Portland just received a last-minute addition, one that would include investing in more parking options in the city center. Central City in Motion, or CCIM, is an 18-project plan from the Portland Bureau of Transportation that's been a year in the making. CCIM promises pedestrian crossing improvements, redesigned roadways that will better accommodate buses and trucks, and safer biking options in downtown Portland and the Central East Side, among other things. The Portland City Council is scheduled to adopt a final CCIM report and implementation plan on Thursday. It will also consider a just-added CCIM parking supply strategy report, one that essentially recommends the city invest in more parking spots despite CCIM's focus on making the area more bike, public transit, and pedestrian friendly. Many of those suggested strategies would serve as temporary transitional measures to keep the area's number of parking spaces the same, as the city center is expected to lose an estimated 2% of its parking spaces due to CCIM projects. But three proposals would likely add more permanent parking spaces to the area. The FBI has released its 2017 hate crime statistics, which revealed a 17% increase in incidents since 2016. In 2017, there were 8,493 victims and 6,307 known offenders. By comparison, there were 7,509 victims and 5,727 known offenders in 2016, according to the data. The report contrasts with the prior year, when there were 6,036 single bias incidents or occurrences where the perpetrator has one bias against a community or group. By comparison, in 2017, there were 7,106 single bias incidents reported. According to the FBI, quote, 58.1% were motivated by a race, ethnicity, or ancestry bias, 22% were prompted by religious bias, 15.9% resulted from sexual orientation bias, and 1.7% were motivated by gender identity bias. NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson said in a statement, quote, this report is shocking and requires Congress's full attention. He added, quote, shouldn't this urgent crisis be the subject of the first post-recess Senate Judiciary Committee hearing today instead of ramming through more Trump judges? Our lives are at stake.
Although some Paradise residents have been allowed back to the city to collect remaining valuables, health officials in Butte County are advising residents not to return to homes that were damaged by the campfire. Evidence gathered from recent California fires indicates that homes that are damaged by fire show concerning levels of toxic chemicals. These include lead, arsenic, and other carcinogens. Experts also say that radioactive materials may be present in some properties. In a statement from the county, health officials reminded the public that exposure to these aforementioned hazardous substances can lead to acute and chronic health effects. The campfire death toll is currently at 81, with 870 people still missing. This Sunday, Live Set, Sound Engineering for Teens, students will be doing sound at a free all-ages show at Mississippi Studios Sunday, November 18th, 2018 at 1 p.m. Young Audiences invites the community to come out and support young engineers as well as local talent and Trash Romeo, Rashid Jamal, and Belvers. This concert will be fully engineered by the fall cohort of Live Set students and acts as their final showcase. Live Set is a hands-on sound engineering program for high school age students. Youth receive training with local professionals in music performance and production. Young Audiences of Oregon was founded in 1958 as a local chapter of the nation's largest arts and education organization. According to their website, their mission is to inspire young people and expand their learning through the arts. For more information, visit the Live Set page on the Young Audiences website.
A report commissioned by Emmanuel Macron will call for thousands of African artworks in French museums taken without consent during the colonial period to be returned to the continent. Unless it could be proven that objects were obtained legitimately, they should be returned to Africa permanently, not on long-term loan, said the authors of the report. The Senegalese writer and economist Felwine Sarr and the French historian Benedict Savoy. They have recommended changing French law to allow the restitution of cultural works to Africa after Macron announced that he wanted it to begin within 5 years. I cannot accept that a large part of the cultural heritage of several African countries is in France, the French president said last year in Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso. The report could pave the way for other former colonial powers to consider the provenance of their own collections.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 21st, 2018. Here are some of the main points again. Toxic chemicals are being found in fire-damaged homes. The e-scooters are gone. And in international news, France has been urged to return stolen historical artifacts. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Carly Meisberger, Rachel Hartley, and Al Khan. The producer is Rachel Hartley, and our engineer is Delphine Krasenko. The director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. For tonight's evening news, I'm Carly Meisberger.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, First Voices Radio features portions of a panel discussion from The Waters Connect Us, gathering with those who work in water protection and restoration. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Spirit in Action looks at decolonizing wealth, indigenous wisdom to heal divides and restore wisdom. At 11, Between the Covers welcomes author Whitney Gardner to talk about her new graphic novel, Fake Blood. And at 11:30, Making Contact features the voices of indigenous women during California Governor Jerry Brown's Global Climate Action Summit. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. That's it for tonight. Good night, Carly.
Good night, Aaron.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Hello, folks, and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what is going on in and around KBOO. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo. And I have an update. News from the Boo is now 30 minutes every Wednesdays. Mike Crenshaw and myself will still take turns hosting, and Mike will be featuring his students and their artwork on his shows, and I will continue to bring you updates about the events and opportunities KBOO is involved with. So that should be an exciting update. I have another update, which is that once a month, I will be bringing you the Station Manager Monthly Report. I hope that you are ready for it. This is going to be a report which every month I create for the board. I share that with them at their monthly meeting on the fourth Monday. And so I decided to create audio content for them. And so I thought, why not actually create a podcast and or actually share the content of this report.